Happy Friday, Pro Nerds. It's Iggy here with the Nerdcast episode 159. It's a special episode live from O Comic Con as we did our podcast panel. Right up front, I'll let you know, it's a little rough on the audio as for some reason I was apparently trying to eat my microphone, but the content was so fun, I wanted to keep it as episode 159. So check it out, enjoy it, even with the rough audio. Stay tuned for more great O Comic Con podcasts as well as we return to normal form next Friday here on the Nerdcast.
Greetings, my friend. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain, and you are listening to the Nerdcast.
Before we start, does anyone have any quick questions or topics that you'd like us to touch on? Because we're really flying by the seat of our pants here. We haven't prepped at all.
Which is normal.
We can 100% do that. That's literally, like, we'll do that the entire hour if you want. If you've ever listened to our show, if we get into the, we'll get into the movie weeds in ways that you honestly can't even understand. I have also, since the last time we recorded, have seen Ant-Man and the Wasp. Have you guys seen it? Can we talk about that? Fantastic.
Did you? What happened?
Ant-Man? Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, I saw it. All right, I saw this again. I was reading this little note. I've been recording. The moment we started recording is when you said, before we start recording.
Okay. Flash, what we got?
The X-Men one.
New Mutants. As a horror movie, yeah, and also I mean, I don't want to say horror, but Venom definitely has some hints of darkness to it. I have no idea what's going on there. We've talked about it before. We'll talk about it more. So it looks like we're going to do some movie stuff. If Iggy is ready.
This is the right crowd. But yeah,
let's do it.
All
right.
Point out.
So I'm going to stop and we're going to lead it in. So
I'm using all of that.
Fantastic. Hello, beautiful humans. Welcome to the Nerdcast from Project Nerd. It is episode maybe 159. So just for those who are aware, we've already recorded episode 159. It is probably never going to come out of the can. There were some audio issues. So 159.5, 159.1. Anyway. We are coming to you live from O Comic Con in Council Bluffs, Iowa, by way of Omaha, Nebraska. I am obviously Tyler. We have our fearless leader, Iggy, here. Say hello, Iggy.
I already did this part.
Hi, everybody. And Bob.
Greetings.
So for those of you who can't tell probably by the weird little echo that's going on, we are recording this episode in front of a live audience at O Comic Con. We've already used, I don't know how much of this Iggy's going to use. We've already kind of warmed up the crowd a little bit. So let's go ahead and get started. How are you guys doing? Well, how was your trip to Council Bluffs, O Comic Con. Let's just call it O Comic Con. Let's not use cities. Let's not label this.
Nobody
mess.
Else is using I'm cities. You're the one doing it.
What?
Well, nobody else has said a city in this room.
Usually, when we do like live podcasts, it's like coming to you live from Chicago, coming to you live from Denver, coming to you live. Here, it's like we're coming to you live from O Comic Con in Council Bluffs by way of Omaha.
Let's go with the Twin Cities.
There, no, those aren't.
That's already taken. Oh,
that one's. I'm pretty sure that one's taken. Go ahead. So, Iggy, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
How long have you been in town?
How long have I been? Too long. I got in on Wednesday, and we went shopping at Sam's Club for the celebrity guests. That was fun, and then hung out at the hotel some.
What did you get the celebrity guests?
We had to buy them food.
Oh.
We had to get them food for the green room. Have you ever heard of the green room? Everybody else is familiar with the green room, right?
The green room.
Well, I'm just making sure you knew.
Presents or something.
Yes, I wanted to shower the guests.
He's over here dropping industry terms.
Green room.
And then Bob, you got in what last night?
We have a footnote.
Yeah, I got in last night. Just a real quick drive.
Not bad.
And you?
I came up this morning, early this morning. So obviously we're not based out of this area for you guys where we originally are from the Kansas City, Manhattan, Kansas area. Bob is still in Manhattan, Kansas. I am from Kansas City. Iggy lives in beautiful Denver, Colorado.
The paparazzi's here.
I know. I saw. Right now there's like going to be all these clicks from cameras on it.
This is Greg Ron Photography, by the way. They're the official photographers of O Comic Con this year.
Also here by way of the great state of Colorado. How was your guys' trip? Let me tell you some cool trip.
You know there's not a lot going on in West Kansas, Nebraska?
We went from cornfields to cornfields.
Also, I'm going to throw out
Welcome to Nebraska.
I definitely broke one of the cardinal rules. Let me tell you a really cool trick for riveting radio and podcast is to ask questions of people who are not on microphones.
Yes.
It sounds fantastic.
We used to do a panel, which actually I think some of our fellow other podcasters that you can find out there are doing a panel later this weekend that is basically, I think they call it podcasting 101 or whatever. We really called it the do's and don'ts of podcasting, but we could have just called it the don'ts of podcasting.
We know all the don'ts of podcasting.
All the don'ts.
If you want to know some, we can lay them out for you. But that would be boring. Let's talk about movies.
Let's say, yeah. So I want to talk about movies. So has everybody in the room seen Ant-Man and Wasp?
Yeah, I don't want to. No spoilers. We will not spoil the movie.
We promise.
Earmuffs.
Tyler and I promise we won't spoil it for you. I can't. Bob sometimes goes.
Bob gets a little carried away.
He is the Bob.
I try not to.
He's the Holland of the Nerdcast. They don't allow him out in public anymore.
I get that
Spider-Man.
Reference.
Thanks.
No. All right. Fair enough. So I did see it. I am one of the few that really, really liked the first Ant-Man. I know of the Nerdcast crew.
I love
that. I think it was a kind of a split road. I think Adam and I were, not that we didn't like it, it just wasn't what we were ready for, and you two were the two that were on board.
By the way, we're going to reference the name Adam a lot. Adam is typically the fourth man in this podcast. He is unfortunately was unable to make it to Comic-Con this year, and we are incredibly brokenhearted about this.
I really am, actually.
It's really
because he runs the booth, and then I don't have to do anything.
Sure, he does all the work for us that we can
just
go
do anything,
like this.
Right?
Anyway, so I saw the movie. It was, I thought, a lot of fun. I thought Paul Rudd was obviously really fun. Evangeline Lilly was a lot of fun. Michelle Pfeiffer is in it for about a minute.
Oh, it's more than a minute.
She's not in it much. I feel like that's a big deal to get Michelle Pfeiffer and then literally put her in the movie for.
So actually, I mean, and this is spoiler free, but kind of spinning off that part is, after seeing it, I made reference to that. I'm like, Marvel gets like every A-list celebrity to like be in their movies now, even if it is just tiny roles.
Yeah.
And that's what I was thinking when I saw Michelle Pfeiffer in it, because she is just a really small role. But I feel like in a number of the movies we've seen from Marvel, I definitely recognize that celebrity, and they're gone already off the screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they definitely teed her up for if they continue to, with the Wasp and Ant-Man, like they can do a lot with her. But mm-hmm. The one thing that we will not speak of, because like obviously we want to say spoiler free, but in true Marvel fashion, there is a post credits. This one's more a mid credit scene in it, and it's one of the most like really ones I think that have been like I'm not mad. I know some people are mad about it, and some people thought it was the greatest thing ever. I was just more like, huh, I can't believe they did that.
I felt it was great because Ant-Man. I think once again, both movies have stood alone. Like they stand on their own. They don't need the rest of the universe when they're happening. So this movie, you can watch Ant-Man and see none of the other Marvel movies and be fine. And I think you could see the second one with only seeing the first one and be fine. But then when you get into the credits is where you start tying it into other movies. And they even did it in the ending credits of the first Ant-Man. They really tied it into the rest of the universe.
Yeah, see, I saw it with someone who has not seen Infinity Wars. We got to the end and he was like, what?
So that was a borderline spoiler.
I told you.
That's right.
I don't think
that's
Bob right. understands spoilers. Because, like, so we, if you don't listen to our episodes or our podcast, whatever we are, it's they watch Westworld. I get shamed for not watching it yet. And then Bob, like, he has the option to message you and Adam, who've watched it, and he's messaging me about the finale. And I'm like, Bob, I'm going to mute this conversation right now. I'm not even to season one yet.
Oh, I'm going to. All I said was...
you didn't go there. I didn't have to mute it, but it was getting there.
Yeah,
it felt there.
I just said it was a you-know-what. A mind-you-know-what.
Oh, fair enough.
And that was all
it
I said.
It was quite the ending. So one thing that we do want to touch on, I know Bob will be able to speak to this better than I can, but we made some predictions two episodes ago around how Ant-Man and the Wasp would do. It opened pretty strongly domestically. The opening weekend was, 78 million? Or
I think it was about 78.
About 78 million.
Much better
but
than
has
expected.
Since then, like, I mean, obviously
well,
it has been.
Well, this is the second weekend. We don't know yet.
Yeah, it's definitely. I know, but the receipts in the midweek were not great compared to Ant-Man. Like, how do we think it's going to finish? Because we knew it wasn't going to be Avengers-level money.
Right.
Like, and it wasn't going to be Iron Man-level money or Spider-Man. But the first Ant-Man did okay, but it's still one of the lowest performing ones.
Right.
But I think now being a sequel of it and following up are we finally hitting like Marvel fatigue point, or is this just one of those movies that people aren't that interested in, unless it's got Iron Man or Thor or Spider-Man in it?
I think it's he's just a I don't want to call him a minor character in the Marvel universe, but you know, he's not. I mean, yeah, Thor. Or,
he wasn't in the Avengers, though.
So. Yeah, Thor, Tony Stark, Captain America would have shown up. It probably would have done a lot better. But yeah, but one thing I'm really kind of excited about is Evangeline Lilly is the first female Marvel character that actually has her character in the title.
Name in the title of the movie. Yeah,
that's pretty.
Yeah,
amazing.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That's true.
Until we get to...
take that, Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel.
Black Widow.
Captain Marvel next year.
Captain Marvel comes out next year. Carol Danvers' room.
Which Carol Danvers is pissed right now because she just took the title.
What room?
We're in the Danvers room.
There you go. We are actually recording this in the Danvers room. So, cool. So, I mean, like, I think I enjoyed it. I thought it did well. I don't know how long it'll get to stay on the charts. There's a lot of movies coming out that are going to push it off pretty quickly, I think. Whereas, like, things like we talked recently, Black Panther, Avengers each got a good run before another movie came and punched them off.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, if you look here the next couple weeks, I mean, this weekend we got Hotel Transylvania 3 and Skyscraper.
Both of those so excited for.
Listen, and I'm the first person to like, but you guys have made it clear to me, and I have finally come around to it. People love The Rock, and we'll go see him in literally anything.
What did Rambo
I love The Rock.
Doing?
I won't go see him in literally anything, but there is a huge swath of America that The Rock is on the screen, I'm buying a ticket.
I did have someone who went and saw it last night, and they said, for a popcorn movie, it's fine. I mean, it's not something that you're going to go burn.
See, but...
Is there anyone in the room here who has plans to go see Skyscraper in theaters? I'm just curious.
Of course
he does. Okay. We know him. We can make fun of him. It's some sorry. If anyone else had raised their hand, I would be like, I'm very happy for him.
He can, you know. Anyone?
Before we get too far, I didn't know they were still making
Hotel Transylvania.
Yeah, well, it's been a huge gap. But before we get too far, I do want to point out that when you guys say, for a popcorn movie, that's like saying, not to be racist. Like, you're calling the movie.
Wow.
Whoa.
That is... No. No.
Can't believe you went there.
No. First of all, like, the totally different turns of
phrase. No, what I'm saying is if you say not to be racist, you're going to say something racist afterwards. So if you say, for a popcorn movie, you're already telling me the movie's shit. I mean, does that make sense?
Two things. First of all, once again, live audience, maybe, you know. I've dialed it back significantly. You're the first one to drop a curse word.
Yeah,
usually it's me, but we do this by ourselves. Second of all, popcorn movie and racist are not... I mean, I literally am just going to ignore it. I'm not even going to touch it. Bob, let's move on. Let's talk about other things. That was bad.
So my daughter's excited.
For all of us.
My daughter's excited for Hotel Transylvania 3.
Yeah, well, your daughter's a really big Adam Sandler fan.
No, she's seven. she's seven.
She loves Happy Gilmore. Have she ever? She probably would if you'd show it to her. No, actually, don't show her Happy
Gilmore.
No, Billy Madison, though.
That's way worse.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
The Penguins, though.
Do you remember any of that movie?
Yes, I remember. I remember very well.
Let's move on. So upcoming movies we were going to touch on. So we pulled the audience for things they wanted us to talk about. One was specifically upcoming blockbusters, but specifically this kind of new thing that everyone's trying out where we have two to almost three movies that are what I would almost call superhero movies that are being marketed almost entirely as horror pictures.
Yeah.
Which, for one, I wish Adam was here because Adam is our resident horror movie buff. He has seen every horror movie that there is to be seen and loves them. So let's talk about them a little bit. What have we got coming out, Bob, and what's...
We got The New Mutants, which is supposed to be coming out like early next year. And
that's not 2018?
No, it's 2009.
Pushback.
And then you got the reboot of Hellboy, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
I mean, it's if only Guillermo del Toro was doing
I am going to miss Guillermo del Toro, and I am going to miss Ron Perlman because he is Hellboy.
Yeah.
But I love David Harbour, and he is a pretty convincing-looking Hellboy.
Yeah, very much so. Very much.
So, yeah, like the Hellboy. I mean, obviously, Guillermo del Toro's definitely leaned into some of the horror aspects of the horror. I mean... If you've read Hellboy, they really leans into the horror elements, and he does a lot of different Mike Mignola does a lot of different horror pastiches in various Hellboy comics, whether it be like Poe-esque or there's a lot of, he definitely does some, you know, Cthulhu mythology type stuff, but there's a lot of different things. This one compared to Guillermo del Toro definitely seems to be leaning in way more into like the horror aspect of the Hellboy character as opposed to the kind of fantasy aspect of it.
Have they released a trailer yet?
They have not.
I have not seen.
They have not. I've got.
Yeah, so the audience comment was that the creator of Hellboy, Mike Mignola, is saying that there's going to be less. The whole point is he wants the less jokes, and it was a big thing of what he wants too. I think is what, if I remember correctly, he wants less one-liners, less things like that. But also, which actually leads into what I was even going to chime in as well, is he's much more involved in this project than he was in the Del Toro ones.
Indeed.
Queen of Blood.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to not see it, so I don't know, regardless of what it is. New Mutants, though, we have seen footage for, we have seen a trailer for, and it 100% watches like a, you know, it is a horror movie trailer. It watches almost like a House on a Haunted Hill or a classic, you know, sanitarium crazy. Like, it is a horror movie with gray walls and fluorescent lights flickering and things coming up out of washing machines and walls and things. So I think that's a super interesting way to tell a mutant story. Like, I think we've definitely, Logan, I think definitely helped re-energize like that whole Fox thing. Cause I feel like the X-Men movies had gone a little stale. Like, we had the first three. First one was good. Second one was great. Third one was not so great.
X-Men 3 then was, what was that?
Please stop talking. Next we get the next go round where I think First Class was fun, Days of Future Past was great, Apocalypse, no thanks. We'll ignore really any of the Wolverine spinoffs that aren't called Logan. 100% Origins we can ignore. The Wolverine was not.
The Wolverine
was okay. The Wolverine's not great. It's good, but I mean. The problem with the Wolverine is the Wolverine looks great when you compare it to X-Men Origins.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Because that was supposed to be a whole line of movies, X-Men Origins, colon, Wolverine, X-Men Origins, colon. So they were going to do a bunch of those, and they did one and realized we're never going to make another one of these again.
Thankfully.
I mean, it got its comeuppance. If there, one more time, we'll have to do another spoiler alert. Has anyone in the room who plans to see Deadpool 2 who has not seen Deadpool 2 yet? All right. Well, there is definitely a reference in Deadpool 2 to a very overt reference in Deadpool 2 to X-Men Origins Wolverine, and it is very brilliant.
It's fantastic.
It was fantastic. It was super satisfying. There was definitely a cathartic release when that scene came and went. So it's not relevant to the plot in any way, shape, or form. It's basically the equivalent of an after credit scene, but it is fantastic. So.
I was going to say, why was I being caught on doing spoilers? Well, that basically kind of...
Well, two reasons. Number one, I asked. Number two, that movie came out way longer before... Ant-Man and the Wasp came out like 3 days ago.
And so. Number three, he's the talent, quote-unquote.
The problem was, is like I opened with like, this is spoiler-ish, and then I moved into it. You literally just said, well, so I talked to someone who hasn't seen Infinity War, and then that you've already set it up. You've already spoiled it. Like, they don't have a chance to like back out then. You've already
But blanked. I didn't say anything about what happened and who got involved or anything like that.
Why are mom and dad fighting on air? I don't know. It's getting awkward.
I need
Adam.
So you said
I need
two. You said two, almost three movies.
The other one we're going to talk about is, which, if you followed the marketing, you probably have less of an idea about what this movie about is than if you have watched none of the trailers. And that is, so Fox is making a.
Sorry, you in the back of the room.
Fox is making basically a Spider-Man universe sans Spider-Man. They're making all these Spider-Man movies that don't have Spider-Man in them. Specifically, they're starting with a Venom movie, which I will 100% go see because it's a Venom movie and because it has Tom Hardy in it. Like, Tom Hardy I could watch Tom Hardy paint a wall in a movie, and it's fine with it. It's cool. But if you were to watch the trailer...
Wait. Tom Hardy or The Rock painting walls, which movie sells
Tom
more
Hardy.
Tickets?
That's,
that's what you like, but which one sells more tickets? Yeah. The Rock? Do you like The Rock?
I don't know.
You want Hardy? You want him to play today?
Tom Hardy's pretty dreamy. I don't know.
I mean,
I think like The Rock, like he has that like wrestler thing. You know?
He's got
that's
that
true. He does have a different. He has an entirely
different audience.
No, I mean he has the same. He has a much wider audience. Like he has multiple different cliques of fans that Tom Hardy, I don't think, has tapped into that. You know,
that professional wrestling. Then he would probably have that fan.
I tell you what, he could do it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, just throw the Bane mask back on him. It's like a Mankind style thing, and
as long as he doesn't talk with that accent.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, so Venom is coming from Fox. To number one, Fox obviously is part of their. Sorry, I keep saying Fox. I meant to say Sony. Sony is the one who owns all of the Spider-Man stuff for years and years. So Sony, despite their deal with Marvel to keep like Spider-Man, who's sort of now in the MCU but not really in the MCU, but at the side of that. Unrelated to those is making all these other movies with Spider-Man characters that they own the rights to, like Venom. So obviously they're making this movie. There's no mention of Spider-Man. It takes place in San Francisco, which there is a very classic Venom storyline that takes place in San Francisco. This seems to be like loosely following it. The character who is going to become Venom is Eddie Brock. They've made it clear. But it doesn't seem like the symbiote or anything that has to do with it in any way ties back into Spider-Man. Well, I could be wrong. But definitely from all the marketing material, all the things that we've heard, like Spider-Man doesn't really enter into it other than we know that that's his origin. I guess, I don't know, I'm definitely, of all of us on the podcast, the biggest Spider-Man. Like, I have the original appearance of Venom in, like, the comic, but I love Spider-Man comics. I'm going to see this movie. I don't want to say I have low expectations for it. I have no expectations for it because I've seen two trailers and I still couldn't tell you anything about what the movie's about, other than it looks like there's a company, some bad scientists, and a symbiote in a bottle, and it definitely at some point gets on Eddie. So I guess, do you guys have any feelings, thoughts, or do you even care?
I mean, you about covered it right there.
I have nothing else to say.
We're really early on, and so the trailers obviously, like you said, haven't shared much, but it's, I think it still could go a variety of directions, and if it wasn't for Sony, like, saying, don't expect Spider-Man here, don't expect Spider-Man in these Spider-Man spinoffs, you would leave it open to believe that he could show up, because in so many Marvel movies, you know, whether it's Fox, whether it's whoever the studio's running it, you see these characters pop up.
Now, this is going to be interesting, because I think it's October 6th or October 9th.
It is. It does come out this year.
Comes out the same day as A Star is Born with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. So who's going to see
double feature?
Yeah, who's going to see Venom? And who's going to see Star is Born?
You can see more than one movie, Bob. It's not against the rules.
I raised my hands. I raised my hand for both.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm seriously considering. I was just because I went to Ant-Man and the Wasp when they were advertising it. I never got in on the movie pass, 100% considering the AMC A-list. I live very close to an AMC theater, $20 a month, three movies a week, and it includes the 3Ds, the Dolby Digitals, the IMAX. Definitely do it. Also, Star is Born, we talk about spoilers. This will be like the fourth time they've made that movie. Spoiler alert, he dies at the end. Just throwing it out there. Bradley Cooper will 100%.
Maybe he doesn't. He did it in the 30s, he did it in the 50s,
really
the 60s.
Well, then that's not A Star is Born, then. That's not the same movie.
It's a reimagining.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, even the audience is
like, I'm all for, like, obviously, we live in a world of sequels and remakes and reboots and reimaginings, but, like, this isn't like, you know, Ocean's 11, it's been 50 years, let's make it with modern. Like, this is a movie that has literally been made. Like, this will be the fourth time, not counting, like, the stage production of it. Like, it's a great story, but I don't know. I feel like, does every generation need their own A Star is Born?
I think so.
Yeah, maybe.
Because we couldn't stop at Chris Christopherson. We weren't done then. All right, that's fine. You know, you guys.
I mean, we get Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga now.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's been a while, right? Yeah, it's about back in the 70s, I think.
Was that the last one?
Yeah, the 1954 one.
That was Judy Garland.
Judy Garland, yeah.
And that's probably the most popular of the.
I don't know, the Chris Christopherson and
Judy Garland. It's Judy Garland.
Yeah, but who was the male lead?
In what? Chris Christopherson or?
No, in Judy Garland's.
Hold on, he's got IMD pulled up over here.
Okay. Well, Bob, of course, Bob.
Oh, Bob's got it. Thank you, Bob. Okay, we're moving on. So I wanted to ask a question about our possible horror movies. So we've kind of asked, like, who's anticipating what? So who's, are we more excited for New Mutants, Venom, or Hellboy?
I'm actually excited for the reboot of Halloween.
Me too.
Thank you.
Once again, riveting radio here. Okay, fine. We'll do a show of hands. So starting with, of the three, if you have to pick one, New Mutants. All right, so 4 or 5. Hellboy. 3.5.
Me.
Oh, sorry, an Iggy. You don't count. You're on the stage. And then, obviously, number four, three, Venom. So Venom in a wash. Like, Venom wins that one really easily.
Yeah, Tubular Man. Question from the audience. I think we go Sinister Six next, if I remember correctly.
I don't even, that's another thing that I'm curious about is, like, how long are they going to be able to keep these separate? So for one, based on trailers alone, even if they wanted to, whatever movie it is they're making that's Venom does not fit into the greater Marvel universe. But I also don't know the specifics of the deal that, like, Sony and Marvel had laid out. But then they've also mentioned, like, it's almost all but confirmed that the primary villain in the next Tom Holland Spider-Man MCU/Sony movie will be Mysterio, who is a pretty big, one of my favorite Spider-Man villains, but a pretty big one. The MCU already has Vulture. The MCU will now have Mysterio. Like, who do they... You've already nailed out, like, two of the big, like, classic members of the Sinister Six. Like, where do you...
But you have, like, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver crossing over two studios, so can we not do that with the villains? Like...
Well, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver were weird because those were two characters that were originally, obviously, like...
Yeah, well, so in Marvel...
slash X-Men. But I don't know, like, to be fair, like I said, don't know the specifics of the genre, but, like, Sony's making both these... I mean, obviously, Marvel's making the Tom Holland movies, but Sony is, you know, paying for them, and they do have a lot of... They have a lot of pull on them, production-wise, and they own the rights to it. Is Sony going to make multiple versions of the same villains, or are they gonna, or do they have a list and they've just, you know, they've split them up like picking for kickball? Like, you get Vulture, we get Doc Ock, you get Chameleon, we get
who gets picked last.
Just as long as Green Goblin's not one of them.
Right? Why not?
I'm just tired of Green Goblin.
You got enough Green Goblins? Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. The only reason the Sinister Six movie a little bit concerns me is you can't have Sinister Six without Dr. Octavius. You can't have Sinister Six without Doc Ock.
Can't have six without it.
And if you do Doc Ock in this movie, then I would assume that means he's not going to show up in the MCU version, which I'm fine with. I also, as much as, like, we're wanting to, like, reboot every character under the sun, and we've now had three Spider-Mans and how many ever, whatever else, Alfred Molina's Doc Ock is really good.
I was just about to say
that. That's one of the performances. I'm like, maybe don't mess with that one. Yeah.
Bring him back. Well, so who's our favorite Spider-Man actor then, of the three? Garfield, Holland.
I think Tom Holland is probably the best Peter Parker.
He's the best Peter Parker.
Andrew Garfield was a really good Spider-Man. The thing that Andrew Garfield has going for him, except for the fact that second movie was real bad, is the fact that him and Emma Stone together interacting, like, their chemistry is incredible. Like, we talked about paint drying. Like, I would watch the two of them just, like, talk to each other in front of a, you know, a wall of painting, of drying paint.
So they
were dating, yeah. So they had a relationship off screen, and that helped with it.
They talk, like, in front of the wall that Tom Hardy is painting.
It's fine, whatever. I'm saying, like, their chemistry was really good. Andrew Garfield was a terrible Peter Parker. Yeah. And, like, that's not on him. He's just significantly too cool and too good looking.
I was going to say, he looked good. He got good grades.
His hair is
nothing about
very
this
cool
as
so.
Outsider.
I loved Tobey Maguire. The problem with Tobey Maguire is he was like 30 at the time, and he was supposed to be a high schooler. Number two is whatever goodwill he built up in Spider-Man it was a great movie. Spider-Man 2 is quite possibly one of the greatest superhero movies ever made. I've gotten in fights with people over this movie. That movie was amazing.
Shocked.
I have never been more angry at a piece of art than I was when I walked out of Spider-Man 3. To be fair, I am a Spider-Man fanboy. I collect Spider-Man comics throughout my childhood. that movie made me like physically angry. Like we've talked about this in the podcast multiple times before. I loathe that movie with every fiber of my being. I will watch the Phantom Menace on repeat for a week if that doesn't mean I have to watch Spider-Man 3 ever again.
Yeah.
First of all, let's be clear, Phantom Menace is by far the best film of the three prequel movies. And anyone who says differently, I will fight. Like it's the best film, like beginning, middle,
and
hold on. Story.
Somebody wants to ask something, but then I wanna go we're gonna have to go deeper into this at least in a future episode.
About what?
About the Phantom Menace.
It's the best of the three prequel movies. All three of them are bad. Phantom Menace is the best of the three. It's the best, like, movie. It has a beginning, a middle, and end. There's a little bit of plot. Some of the acting is actual acting. Clone Wars is easily the worst. Like, I think everyone agrees that the second one is real bad.
Not everybody agrees. Most people think the first one is the worst.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's dumb. Those people are dumb. They're wrong. Three is close to one. Three suffers from, like, the whole third act of that film is a giant mess, and you did something that, if you had told me before that movie came out that it was possible to turn Darth Vader into just the most whiny, terrible character ever, I've been, no, that's not possible. He's Darth Vader. And then, lo and behold, George Lucas found a way to do it. Like, he's standing on that thing screaming no, and I'm like, wow, you just ruined Darth Vader for me.
But he had the higher ground. Oh, no, he didn't, actually. No, so you're wrong. That I agree with you about the Vader stuff, but the...
First of all, let's talk about reasons why the first one is better than the next two. Number one,
Jar Jar Binks.
Okay, first of all, Jar Jar Binks is in all three
not
of them.
That bad. What is? I'm the
Jar Jar Binks
I'm
is in all three of them.
Jake Lloyd.
Okay, so
they rewrote Clone Wars to get him out of the movie. He was so bad in the
first
one.
So Jar Jar Binks is in all three of them. So you just have to deal with that. Like that's
like
not
this much in the second.
It doesn't matter. He's in all three of them. He is in all three of them.
There's only one thing that I will say, Phantom Menace, that I love more than anything. Darth Maul.
That's number one on the list. It has the fight between Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan and Darth Maul.
Well, I remember it was a huge deal because they were talking about, Lucas and crew were talking about, the 4th through 6, you're getting older Jedis or, you know, Vader who's kind of on the back end and part
cyborg.
Of the machine.
He doesn't
and
have
then
any
you have Luke who's not fully trained yet. So that's what we get in terms of lightsaber battles. So they're like, we have to give you a battle that shows a Sith Lord and two Jedis that are at the peak of their abilities. And so that's why that battle definitely...
No, it's fantastic.
It
so you have Darth Maul. You have some Yoda, but you don't have a ton of Yoda because there's only one Yoda, and that Yoda is a puppet voiced by Frank Oz. That CG...
Was he a puppet in the first one? Was he a puppet in the first one?
No, he was CG in the first two.
Oh, okay.
There's very little Yoda in the first one. There's a lot of Yoda in that second one. Yeah. And the flippy, floppy, spinny... No, thank you.
When he fights Dooku, and he's like...
Yeah, no, thank you. I don't have time for that.
Well, then in the third one, he... fights the Emperor down in the Senate.
Spoiler alert, Bob. No, I'm just kidding.
It was the 90s, people. There is a statute of limitations. I'm not saying that it has the best Star Wars stuff in it, but if we're going to judge it on its merits as like a piece of cinema, as a film, is like it meets those criteria of like telling a story, having a beginning, having a middle, having an end, having coherent exposition, you know, having a climax, getting from point A to point B. Phantom Menace by far is better than the other two.
You're judging it unfairly. Like the Clone Wars, that not saying it's much better than the first one, but it's the middle of a trilogy. It doesn't have to have a defining beginning, middle, and end.
It has zero coherence whatsoever. It is a narrative mess.
Fair, but I'm just still saying your argument is invalid because these movies are at different points in trilogies, so you arguing that part.
I gotta be honest, we've obviously never talked about this. I don't know if I've ever met someone who doesn't think that the second one is the worst of the three.
No, I haven't met someone besides you, who doesn't think the first one is the worst of the
There is somebody here at this con. We may want to bring that conversation up.
Wait, is the first one or the second one the worst?
The first one's the worst.
No, second one's the worst.
See, everybody in the crowd.
But here's the thing. Okay, well, here, let's take the first one out of it. is the second one better or worse than the third one? Yeah, by far. So, like, yeah. So, I guess everyone here thinks the third one's the best one, then?
Of the prequel trilogy.
Yeah, that's
clearly defined. That's upsetting. Of the prequel trilogy.
That's upsetting. Yeah, that's fair.
I can't block him from my memory. It's still one, like,
I don't know how
when
you
your
got
kid misbehaves, you still love that child. It's still Star Wars.
Yeah.
Really? You don't even watch one.
I mean, I'm not saying I like any of the three. Like, none of the three are good movies, but I think as a movie, the first one's definitely better than the second one.
It's Star Wars. Like, they all still matter.
No. You can skip them, though.
Well, you could have watched maybe like the last...
Are you saying that you still annually watch, like, the holiday special, then?
Well, first of all...
It's Star Wars, Iggy. It's Star Wars. It still matters.
Why wouldn't you watch it for a good laugh?
Yeah. I thought you were gonna go
the Batman Robin route here. Oh. I thought that's where you were going.
Yeah. So fun fact. Loves Batman and Robin. Just thinks it's,
I didn't say I love
like,
Batman and
there's
Robin.
There's just something about
I'm saying it's a viewable movie. It's a watchable movie. I can watch it. It's a good popcorn flick.
No.
Matt in the audience just brought it full circle.
Fantastic. I don't know how we got on, like how we started with like upcoming blockbusters and got onto.
Yeah, this is really confusing.
So
how did we get off topic?
It was because of
Spider-Man. Happens.
Saying that the number, like Spider-Man 2 is one of the best superhero movies.
Because there's not 158 other episodes where we just go off topic.
No, fair enough. I feel bad because we're going to talk about upcoming movies. So we talked about Venom. Everyone apparently in the room is very excited to see it.
Yeah.
It's also of all the movies we're talking about, it's the one that's actually going to come out here in a reasonable amount of time. So very quickly. What have we got left this year that, like, other than
Mission Impossible?
Mission Impossible is looking interesting.
It's looking good. Somebody's thumbs down here.
Really?
Is it because Tom Cruise jumps on couches? And? Yeah.
See, that's so Tom Cruise. He became so polarizing, especially with the Katie Holmes stuff and the Scientology stuff. But at the end of the day, like,
Dan doesn't make a movie.
I like his movies. Like, they're good.
Well,
some Mission Impossible is pretty solid.
All right. So quick.
Somebody just said Top Gun, which that's right.
Cocktail.
Cocktail's so fantastic. That's a great one.
Edge of Tomorrow.
I own all of these movies, by the way.
I loved, Edge of Tomorrow was fantastic, the newer one.
But
there's some not winners in there. Days of Thunder, Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah. You don't like Days of Thunder?
Yeah. Not really, no.
I'm not a big fan of that one.
Cold Trickle.
What else is coming out this summer?
Mission Impossible 2.
Okay, so
Mission Impossible 2 is the Phantom Menace.
So I was about to say, while we're on the subject, does everyone agree that Mission Impossible 2 is by far the worst Mission Impossible?
Yeah, obviously.
No one can argue with that one, right?
It was Ang Lee, right?
Yeah, that was the
Ang Lee directed it, and it was like,
I keep getting that.
What are you doing?
Used with Face Off.
Face Off's a fantastic movie. I mean, don't be silly.
How do you confuse those two, though? How?
I always think the doves are flying in Mission Impossible 2. No, the doves were flying in.
They might fly in Mission Impossible 2. I don't think anybody's watched it since it originally came out to remember if doves
are flying or not. It's real bad.
But I've heard a lot of good.
Buzz about the first, the new one.
When there's that scene in the trailer when Cavill like's all like getting ready to like, he gets his arms up and they're like getting ready to fight in the bathroom,
Superman.
Or the part where he's like, his job is to kill you if you go rogue, and it's like, nothing personal, but it's the mission, and it's like,
and
all right, I'm ready for this.
Just to know, the mustache is not CGI.
Damn right, it wasn't.
But what a crazy thing is about, like, I don't know, for those that don't like Tom Cruise, I feel like if you should be happy he keeps making Mission Impossible, because at one of these points he's going to die making one of these.
Probably.
He's the first actor to be filmed doing a halo jump now in a movie for this new Mission Impossible.
I honestly have gotten to the point where I'm not even sure Tom Cruise cares about making movies anymore.
He has just
found a way for movie studios to pay for him to, like, hang off the side of a, you know... airplane or halo jump or jump over from one building to another or slide down the top of the tallest building in the world. Like, it's an excuse. He's like,
does all
so like,
stuff.
I will agree to be in this movie if you guys pay for me to go do this crazy, super crazy stunt I want to do.
Pretty much.
And then they end up, and then that's how they market every movie, is just like 2 months before the movie comes out. Oh, here's a bunch of videos of Tom Cruise doing this
here's
crazy
the new
stunt
trailer,
for this movie.
Five straight scenes of Tom Cruise doing his own stunts that look outrageous. That's the
including
trailer.
Like the scene that is in the trailer and in the movie of him breaking his foot doing the like jump between buildings.
To the building, Got that.
I don't know. I will go see it. Like, they are definitely, they are a higher quality of popcorn movie. I will say the first one was really good, and the third one was really good. The third one's really good. Everything after the third one.
Mission Impossible is not a popcorn movie.
Yes. It's a good movie. Yes, it is. The third one is a really, really, really good movie.
Oh, yeah.
And the first one was cool just because it had been, no one had really done that really weird, like, super twisty. You had to watch it, like, four times to figure out what was going on, and that was really new at that time it came out. Everything after the third one has been just, like, let's see how big a set piece we can make with an incomprehensible plot. Like, there's a MacGuffin, we have to get it to stop the end of the world, and in the meantime, we're going to jump off this building and crash this plane and do whatever.
Tyler's really pushing it this weekend because he knows we're already shorthanded, and we can't just tell him to leave. Like, so he's just like,
I'll go home
with Mission Impossible, and
once this is done, I have nothing left. Actually, I do have to do one more panel today.
So what do you guys want to see this summer? What movie do you want to see the rest of the
show? So Mission Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else is coming out. Yeah, yes.
I've seen the
that's around Christmas time, right? Yeah. Into the Spider-Verse.
So Into the Spider-Verse is 100% all Sony. Sony Entertainment Television Sony Entertainment whatever.
Because they retain the animated rights. Because the rights for animated are different than.
There's been like five different like cartoons on Cartoon Network.
Or Disney XD
or something about Spider-Man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The rights to this stuff gets crazy.
So the television rights are a whole different. Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
I was going to say, we've talked about it before too, specifically with the Fox contract of why Marvel quit doing Fantastic Four comics, is because the agreement for each different piece is so detailed and different that Marvel can make money off of Spider-Man still. They had to give money to Fox when they sold comic books of Fantastic Four because of how bad they were financially when they gave Fox the rights to X-Men and Fantastic Four.
The Sony deal's not great for them, and Sony's mainly because of like the Sony hack fallout has wised up a little bit. The deal that they made with Fox for X-Men and the Fantastic Four was a terrible deal for Marvel. But people forget when they made that deal, Marvel was all but bankrupt. Like, they were going to go under. Like,
that was the, yeah.
In no time, if they hadn't
made
that deal.
It was all those foil covers from the mid-90s.
And now they've.
I still got them in a long basement.
Yeah. We've got to know, the episode that we got off on it because we talked to McFarlane the other day, and like he was kind of like made his name in the middle of that, like the comic book crash.
I think all the Image guys right in the mid-90s were, we saw the height of it.
Let's make 15,000 covers of this thing and sell, and you need to buy multiples of it.
When Michael Turner spun off and did his Aspen Comics and he did Fathom number one, I have, I think, 12 covers of number one, and they're worth all, 2 cents? Whatever
they're
worth.
They're worth nothing. Like, this, well, because they just printed so many of them. And, like, I mean, alternate covers have definitely come back in a big way, but you'll never see more, unless it's like a huge, huge, huge event. For instance, like Batman 50, we talked about. You won't see more than four
Speaking
or five.
Speaking of spoilers,
usually.
There, that was New York Times spoiled Batman 50. We talked about it on our last episode of the Nerdcast. You mad about the spoilers that we sent?
No, I'm mad about
how it happened. Yeah.
There's 50 more issues to go. It's fine.
They tried to convey this is 100 stories, not a 50. All right, so we are short on time, and they're going to probably want to use this room for something else. So we will talk all weekend. We are happy to talk all weekend. Clearly one of us more than the others, but
come to the booth, sit down, and I'm more than happy to record multiple podcasts with people with better opinions than Iggy.
Okay.
Which is probably all of you.
We're in the expo hall, and we are merged with our sexy nerd science friends, so there's a couch area to sit down, talk with us, the sexy nerd science crew. We got a one-on-one space for recording if you just want to debate the Phantom Menace with Tyler, and we've got some other stuff from freebies to cheap comics to everything, but over the expo hall. If you want to hear more from us, we have Sunday our panels on kickstarting comics, but even the hour before that, Sunday morning, will be the Turning Your Fandom into a Business, which, again, just like the do's and don'ts of podcasts, we tell you more of what not to do. And, of course, you can catch us moderating some of the other panels and emceeing the cosplay competition this weekend. But check us out, as well as all the other awesome podcasts out over in the Podcast Arcade, brought to you by Nebraska Furniture Mart. Thank you for listening to us. That's it for the Nerdcast 159.